I am so grateful to have the opportunity to speak this morning during our series on Called Out, Choosing Calling Over Comfort. You know, Jeff has given us some great lessons these past few weeks dealing with courage and character and community and compassion. And as he said today, we're going to talk about cause. And he asked me to speak today because of my relationship with World Bible School. And for those of you that don't know, it's a relationship that has only spanned about 5 years. But about 5 years ago, WBS contacted me and asked me to be a part of this great organization. And I'll be honest with you, when I started, I did not know a great deal about it. But the more I know, the more people I meet. Karen and I are just humbled. We are just absolutely blown away by the passion that people have for the lost. And so we're going to talk about that in just a few moments, but I want to begin by going back to Philippians chapter 3, where our reading came from this morning, and ask you this question. Have you ever championed a cause? Well, I think all of us could probably say that we have. In the culture that we live in today, there are a lot that have championed a lot of political issues in the last year or two. There are those that have championed racial relations and things of that nature, and that's good. We champion medical needs, and well, I don't. Jeff, I don't think you probably do ever. But we don't run, but we think about it, you know. And it's great for people to champion causes. Dogs and cats and, I don't know, maybe armadillos, but in Texas, who knows? Someone may be championing that cause. But the word cause itself is defined as a principle, an aim, or a movement that because of a deep commitment, one is prepared to defend or advocate. So we're going to go back and talk for just a moment this morning about a man that we first knew by the name of Saul. Saul was a man that understood a cause. He understood championing a cause, and it was something that was very passionate to him. So back in Acts chapter 7, we have the story, the tragic story of the stoning of Stephen. And Acts chapter 8 and verse 1 tells us that Saul was there. He approved of his death, and that day a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. By the time we come to verse 3 of that same chapter in Acts chapter 8, we read that Saul, think about this now, Saul began to destroy the church. That was his cause. He was going from house to house, and he was dragging off men and women and putting them in prison. And then again in Acts chapter 9 and verse 1, he is still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Now something happened on the road to Damascus. Saul was confronted by the Lord, and Saul at that point in time, and as he was taught further, began to realize just who Jesus Christ was and who Jesus Christ, what he meant in his life. So his name was changed and he became known as Paul. Well, in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, we read these words, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Wow. Think about that for just a moment. Just back in Acts chapter 8 and chapter 9, Saul is breathing out murderous threats against the church. And by the time we come to Philippians chapter 3, he is saying, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I would have a tough time if there was a man that I knew had this past, and now he has come into my life and is saying, hi, brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Well, Paul begins to outline then some of his credentials in this first part of Philippians 3 as a Jew. And here's what he says. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was of the people of Israel, a tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. And as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Paul was a Jew among Jews. He was a card-carrying Jew. He had the pedigrees. He had all of the background. He had everything that a person could understand would be important for a Jew in that culture. And then we come to verse 7, and this is what he says. Once again, as we read earlier, he said, "Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ." Some translations say, "Whatever my gain or my profit." What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost everything. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. And then listen to what he says, "I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead." And then he kind of brings all of this together in these next few verses, and he says in verse 12, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." For just a moment, I want us to think about the passion. I want us to think about the change that took place in Paul's life. To think about what it meant for him to have the courage to stand up and to say, "This is what I believe. This is what I know. This is what I want others to know as well." Well, let me tell you about another man who understood that calling. His name was Jimmy Lovell. In 1896, Jimmy Lovell was born and grew up in the hills of Portland, Tennessee. He was a natural woodsman. He was a sportsman. He was a great marksman, but he loved the Lord, and he wanted to share his faith with others. His family had been part of Churches of Christ for 150 years. Jimmy Lovell went to work for the DuPont Company after they recognized his skills as a great marksman, and they recognized also that he was a great salesman. And so he conducted shooting demonstrations across the Western United States and Canada and Central America, and moved to Los Angeles and began this work with this company, DuPont. His daughter said that her dad literally carried two briefcases. There was one briefcase that was his business briefcase, but there was another briefcase that he carried, and that was the one that he carried his Bible, and he carried lessons, and he carried information in to share with others about Jesus Christ. You see, Jimmy Lovell was a man that believed in the Lord, just as we talked about Paul believing in the Lord, but he believed that others needed to hear that message. He believed they needed to come to know Him as well. This is an interesting picture of him because it shows the passion that he had in his heart. And he said one day, he said, "You know, I believe that everyone in the world needs to have the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ once, at least once, before anyone has the right to hear about Jesus twice." That sounds kind of bold for him to make that comment, but what did that passion, what did that love lead to? Well, it led to him wanting to share that message with people around the world. You think about what it was like in that time when he was sharing this, and so how was he going to do that? Well, he started putting ads in newspapers in other countries. He thought, "Well, I'll try it and see if anyone wants to study the Bible." And all of a sudden, he began receiving just tons of people saying, I want more information. And then he had to start recruiting people to help him in his cause. And he did that for 5 decades, until on April the 28th, at the age of 87, April the 28th in 1984, at the age of 87, he was working where he had worked for many, many times by a table that he had prepared lesson material and Bibles and things to mail out to people. And he grabbed hold of the table and he knelt down on his knees in great pain. That night, he took the Lord's Supper, and the next day he passed away. Now, what Jimmy Lovell had started was a great movement and a great cause to lead others to Jesus Christ that ultimately became known as World Bible School. It is estimated that at the time that Brother Lovell passed away in 1984, that 2 million people had been taught through those lessons, through that material that he had shared with others. Do you know that as of today, 35 million people have been taught through World Bible School? Now let me kind of tell you what that means. Those are names of people that we've actually received, that we know, because we receive about 1 million new students every year. But I'm here to tell you that only God knows how many people have been touched through this ministry. You see, the truth is that we know that 35 million, but we don't know the people that this person taught, and this person taught, and this person taught, and this church that was established, and these hundreds of people that came to know the Lord because of what one person had done. Today we estimate that as many as 18,000 will request to be baptized every year, all because Jimmy Lovell believed in a cause, believed in sharing the Word of God with others. You know, his dedication needs to be our dedication today, but I want to ask you a very important question this morning. Do you believe, do we believe, that everyone has a right to hear about Jesus Christ? Do we believe that everyone has a right to come to know the Lord's forgiveness and love? And you're probably saying, well, Jim, that's a dumb question to ask this morning. Of course we believe that. Of course we believe that everyone ought to know Christ Jesus. But have you ever thought about people that are difficult to love? Let's be honest this morning. Has there ever been anyone in your life that was just a challenge to love? Has there been anyone that maybe deep down that you don't share with anyone else that you would say doesn't deserve to know the forgiveness of Jesus Christ? Are there some that we would shy away from if we were asked to teach, to share, to help them come to know the Lord? Well, what about a man like Jeffrey Dahmer? Now, there are a lot of you this morning that are probably saying that you know his story very well. There may be others here today that are not familiar with his story, but I want to share just a little bit about this man. He was born in May of 1960 and became one of America's most infamous serial killers. In fact, when he was finally arrested in 1991, he confessed to the murders of 17 young men and boys. And I can't tell you today publicly the horrendous acts that he committed. I can't share that with you in a setting such as this, with children present. He was a horrendous individual. But he was a man that had at his roots some teachings about Jesus Christ. So I ask you today, did he deserve God's grace? Did he deserve the forgiveness that we all long for? Did he deserve to know the love of Jesus Christ? Well, there were two individuals that believed that even a heinous monster like Jeffrey Dahmer needed to know more about the Lord. And so Curtis Booth and Mary Mott independently mailed him World Bible School lessons while he was in prison. Lessons like you can see on the table in the foyer today. They shared the fact that God loved him and cared about him. Both of these individuals wanted him to have the ability to know more about the Lord. Actually, Dahmer received a whole lot of material in prison from a lot of religious groups. But you see his roots way back with his grandmother and others had been in churches of Christ. And so he started studying. And he began to complete that material. And eventually, he came to the point that he said he was ready to be baptized. But there was no baptistry in the prison. So what was he going to do? Did he even deserve to be baptized, he thought. And entered the picture a man by the name of Roy Ratcliffe, who was from a church in Wisconsin. And he came and he said, I'll study with him more fully. And he did just that. He said that Jeffrey told him one day, if anyone needed to have his sins washed away, it's me. And so on May the 10th, 1994, Roy Ratcliffe, two prison guards, and the prison chaplain made a journey down the hall to the infirmary where they had a whirlpool tub. And Jeffrey Dahmer was baptized into Christ Jesus. Roy Ratcliffe continued to study with him. He continued to go to the prison. And Dahmer was shocked that he would even be willing to do that. In November of that year, he was murdered by another prisoner. And Roy Ratcliffe conducted the funeral service in December for Jeffrey Dahmer. And here's what he said. He said, Jeff confessed to me his great remorse for his crimes. He wished he could do something for the families of his victims to make it right, but there was nothing he could do. He turned to God because there was nowhere else to turn, but he showed great courage in asking the question, is heaven for me too? I think many people are resentful for him asking the question, but he dared to ask, and he dared to believe the answer. So Curtis Booth and Mary Mott and Roy Ratcliffe understood the meaning of a cause, the magnitude of sharing the Word of God with other people, and that's exactly what they did. We read in Acts chapter 8 of the story of Philip and the eunuch, and they're going along the road, and if you remember that story, Philip has been called to the eunuch, and the eunuch's in a chariot, and they're riding along. I'd love to have seen that chariot, but they, at some point along the way, they come to some water, and the eunuch, after hearing what Philip is saying and teaching, says to him, see, here is water. Can I be baptized? And so they stopped the chariot. Philip baptized him, and then he was called away. When the pandemic hit in its fervor last year, the team with World Bible School decided that one of the ways that we could really stay together when we weren't on the road and traveling and doing so much internationally and stateside, we began to have Zoom meetings Monday through Friday, every morning at 9 o'clock. And we'd have a devotional and a prayer, and we still are. And now that people are beginning to travel again, and we've got some individuals in Africa right now and some that have just returned, it's been really exciting because every day, almost every day, there have been pictures that have been sent to us from areas all over the world, India, the Philippines, Africa, Brazil, all over the world of people that are being baptized into Christ Jesus. Because the work that World Bible School has in place has not stopped. And individuals are continuing to come to know Christ. One of the one that was most impressive to me was a lady, and I believe it was in India a few weeks ago, that we got this picture of her in one of these big blue 55-gallon drums that they were baptizing her into the barrel of water because that's all they had. Some of the pictures that we've received show water you and I wouldn't even put our feet into because it's so dirty. When Karen and I were in Africa 2 years ago, they told us, they said, do not go into the water because of the diseases, and others were there that lived there and conducted those baptisms. Well, it's just exciting to know that about 18,000 every year that we know of are being baptized into Christ. I want to share with you a great story of what follow-up partners mean as we continue to teach and assist. And this is our story. This is the Lake City story. Some of you know this story, but last year, on a Sunday afternoon, the mission committee met, and we had an opportunity to have our brother Franco Ferrari from Italy on the Zoom call. And he was sharing with the committee the baptisms that had been taking place and the people that were being taught in Italy. So the next morning, on the WBS Zoom call, I said, we need to pray for Franco and for a man by the name of Jerry. And first I said, we just need to be praying for Franco and the work that he's doing. An hour after I got off of that Zoom call, Edie Connell, who lives in Abilene, works with our follow-up partners, called me and she said, Jim, I just got word that there is a person in Italy that's ready to be baptized, and you mentioned this missionary this morning that maybe could help us with that. Can you get in touch with him and see what you can do? And I said, sure. So I called Jennifer, because I knew Jennifer could speak Italian, and I said, can you talk to Franco and can you tell him what the situation is? And when she did, our brother Franco said, well, that man lives 500 miles from me, but I'll get on the train this weekend and I'll go see him. And so he did. And this is our brother in Christ, Jerry, that Franco studied with more completely, baptized into Christ, got him involved in the church in Pistoria. And it's just, folks, that's what ministry is all about. And that's why World Bible School is at the heart of what we are doing as we work with individuals and we involve our sister partners in ministry to share the Word of God. Well, you know, I could talk about this all afternoon, and y'all are going, no, you can't. Well, you could, but we won't be here. So I understand that. I want to share just a few more pictures with you very quickly. I want to talk about the South Sudan, what took place in the South Sudan last year. This first picture is from May of last year, and you can see the smiles of these individuals that have just been baptized. Doesn't that just warm your heart? Look at the next picture from July. This is after the rebels came in and destroyed the villages and burned them out. And then the final one from December is when the floodwaters came. We look at this and we see the magnitude of God's work. Actually, you and I probably could not go into the South Sudan right now or the Congo because of the violence that's there, but others can, and they're teaching and they're leading people to know about Jesus Christ. But this is their life. This is the life that they live all the time with the threat of violence and with the threat of floods and with the problems that come. We often think that life is difficult, but the reality is our lives are pretty tame compared to others around the world. 4 years ago, World Bible School began an effort to get the Word of God into the hands of as many people as possible. And it was such a small, minuscule effort when we first produced an ESV translation that has 100 pages of lesson material in the back of it. That's the little one there on the left lower corner. Many of you received one of those last year when we were thinking about our mission work going forward. We had to order 20,000 of these, and we didn't know how we were going to pay for them, but we knew God wanted us to do it, so we did. And within 4 months, that 20,000 was gone. And to date, over 375,000 complete Bibles with lesson material have been distributed to people around the world. We are pre-positioning those Bibles now in certain countries so they can distribute them to people, many who do not have access to the Word of God whatsoever. We've added a New King James Version. We've also added a larger print edition for those of us that are visually challenged. And you can see, or you can purchase some of those out in the foyer today if you're interested, or order them if you know others that would like to use them. Our goal is Bibles for millions. And one of the ways that we're going to accomplish that has just in the last few months been implemented. And that is that we have introduced a Lite app, L-I-T-E app, on WhatsApp that is used by 1.5 billion people around the world. We can't access it here in the States, but people in other countries use it all the time because it's their means of communication, and it's free, and it has ways to send videos and have lesson material. And we are now on that portal where they can download Bibles and material to study. The lesson material has also been seen in our Methodist work, and you saw that video at the beginning of the presentation, beginning of service today. Well, I could say more, but let's just kind of bring this to a close. Let me ask you, what do you invest in? What is important to you? This car, this 1963 GTO, was a car that was purchased by an individual a couple of years ago for $70 million. Beautiful car, isn't it? It's one of only 36 that was ever produced and raced and won races, never wrecked. But evidently there's a club of people that buy those things and love those things. What about this one? This is a picture of a Michael Jordan rookie card. Michael Jordan is one of the greatest of all times, and after last year, there were a lot of new people introduced to what he did back in the 80s for the Chicago Bulls. This is a rookie card, and there's another one just like it that sold in February of this year. Are you ready for this? For $738,000 each. So $1.5 million in two Michael Jordan rookie cards. Anybody order anything from Amazon last year or this year? Anybody not order anything from Amazon? 1997, if you had invested $10,000 in Amazon stock when it was first introduced and held on to that stock until last week, that $10,000 investment would be worth $19 million today. So we can invest in cars and cards and cash. But do you know what Jimmy Lovell invested in? Do you know what Paul invested in? Do you know what Curtis Booth and Mary Mott and Roy Radcliffe invested in? They invested in people. And brethren, when we invest in one another and when we invest in the lost, we will never, ever lose. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He said, everything that I have is loss compared to knowing Jesus Christ. Two passages real quickly that I'll close with. The first is from Philippians 3:8 again. I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul said, I've decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I want to thank the elders, and I want to thank Jeff. You know, it's not always that preachers are willing to give up the pulpit for others, and I'm thankful that he did today. But I'm thankful for the desire that has been put forward for individuals to have an opportunity to share in the ministry that we're about. Yes, I'm passionate about it. Yes, I believe in it, because when I hear numbers like 35 million and thousands upon thousands, and the story of one man who led an entire group of people to come to know others and start churches, I can't wait to get to heaven to see what it's going to be like when we meet those people. Some of us will never have the opportunity to go, but we can help others. And so there's three ways today that I'm going to share with you that you can help. Number one is just pray, if you will, for this ministry and others just like it. If you can teach, we're always needing online teachers. We're always needing postal teachers. And I'd be happy to visit with you about that. And then finally, as Jeff said, I want to give you the opportunity to give. You know, I've decided in my life that for some people, giving is a ministry. It's an opportunity. And I want to give you that opportunity today. Back in the foyer, there are some cards like this and some envelopes. And if you would like to share something today, you can leave that with me or Karen. Or if you'd like to think about it, if you'd like to put it in the mail, if you'd like to do something 6 months from now. The video that we saw at the beginning of service today was a video that has come about because one family in another state said, "We believe in what you're doing," and they have donated over $1 million to make all of that work possible. I hope you'll pray for her because she's having real serious back problems right now. Folks, this is my plea. This is my passion. This is my cause. And it's a cause that I really believe God opened the door for 5 years ago in Karen's life and in my life to have the opportunity to do this. And so we travel, we didn't last year much, but we travel around the state and we share this message with others. Today, if you are in the need of prayers, the elders will be in the back. They'll be glad to assist you with that. If there are those here that are ready to be baptized, the baptistry is always ready, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, if that need is in your life. We hope that if you're visiting today, that Lake Cities will be a place that you find comfort, a place that you find joy, and a place that you find friends. I know that's what happened with us a couple of years ago. And we would love to share more with you about what Lake Cities is all about. If we can help you in any way today, won't you respond, whether in the back or in the front, as we stand and as we sing together?